The Sentai Review, Episode 56, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 1, Volume 2 Review.
Welcome back to Sentai Review, the show that checks Zordon's history. No! Stop! Don't do that!
Rangers, do not lock the back door on the Megazord!
What are you gonna do about it? What are you gonna do about it? You're just a head. You ain't gonna do shit.
No.
I will take away your powers.
No, Alpha will.
Alpha. So, we are back, and if you haven't guessed, we got a pretty good response off of the last show. The last show like this, anyway. We are going to have to continue these Ranger discussions. So, before we even start this, I'd like to give a little shout-out. We got the whole reason we're doing a part two to this is because of one guy's actual communication with us. Because one of the biggest things about this is I love to see comments, and I love to comment back, and I love to discuss. And one of the first things I did was this guy wrote in and corrected us on the Zordon joke that we pulled about the putties in the desert. He said, well, when Goldar and Rito would have shown up to destroy the command center, they would have found a bunch of putties wandering around the outside of the command center, and they would have been like, what are you guys doing here? And they'd have been like, and they'd have been like, well, we kind of outsourced your job to new henchmen, so yeah. I mean, you know, Lord Zedd's room needs sweeping. If you could handle that,
but then again, we could use some more guys too. So
maybe you can come back and stand around. Because we don't use putties at all anymore. We got these new bird things with their own theme song. And, I mean, you're kind of as absolute as it gets.
And a bit dry.
And a bit dry and sandblasted. So, I mean, you can come with us, but we're sorry. Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. Alright guys, I'll leave you alone. And after he did that, I was like, so we're not 100% sure if we're doing a part two. Did you enjoy this episode? I mean, because if not, we're just going to move on to something else. And he gave us this awesome response.
Which means it's my turn. A one Noel Olivares stated, in response to your question, is the sky blue on clear sunny days? Do the train rangers have a rail gun and rail sword?
That's a real fan right there. That's a rail fan right there.
Flip the table. No, you're not allowed to flip a table yet, Nick, because he then goes on to state, if you stop the volume discussion, we riot! There's a lot more about, you know, there being a back door to
the actual center,
mm-hmm. Much like how there's a back door to the Megazord, which means it's clearly unlocked. So
yeah,
you just break into the command center and beat up on everybody and stuff.
Yeah, he goes on to say, we riot. We will go to the command center, find the back door, because I'm sure it's unlocked, open it up, go in, find Zordon in the side room, pleasuring himself to Kimberly's alone time, and we'll beat his ass and everybody else's little robot ass in the room. And he was just going on and on, and it was funny as hell, and I was like, I'm going to assume that this guy likes these episodes. So, we are back to talk about the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 1, Volume 2, and we're in luck because this case has the Green Ranger with a nice silver stripe on his head. I'm really, really enjoying that. I'm sure there's other people in our group that really enjoy that, too.
What?
he's truth. Yeah, silver
I told
stripe.
You.
What?
I told you that is the
Fuck
new look. It's not just, it wasn't just
shit.
A screw up here in America. That's the way he looks now in the Sentai and everything.
I Guess said what? Jack just wanted a drink.
Fuck
what?
That shit.
He's hating so hard.
Of course, Bill, I ain't worried about
he
it.
He hates Green Ranger.
I don't give a fuck.
Silver Stripe.
I hate the fucking Silver Stripe because Disney threw it in and now it's canon.
Disney didn't throw it in. It appears like that in the Sentai now, too, in background footage and shit. During the Ranger War, if you look closely during the Sentai footage, he has that silver on his helmet. So that was an edit made by them that we have to comprehend. They make the decisions. We don't. We buy their footage.
It's not what we grew up with.
So
to me, nope, that's not the Green Ranger's helmet.
He
nope.
hates it so much. He's so mad.
If Bandai's keeping with, or whoever Saban is keeping with it, he can go shove up his ass.
Nice silver line in ass. So, we're on 31 is Calamity Kimberly. That's where she keeps having like a bad day, right?
Yeah.
Like it rains.
I think
on
the
her
one
everything.
Good thing that boys would like is wet Kimberly.
Oh my.
Being
a star is
rain.
Born. The yolk's on you. And then we enter our first actual discussion of this series, episode 34 and 35, The Green Candle.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
How did that green candle make you feel, Shane?
Well, in our series, since it's tied in with the Green Ranger's powers, candle goes out, no more powers. In the Japanese version, no more candle, no more life.
Yes.
Let's
get this out of the way real quick. The big difference between our show and their show was that the candles drained his power and the candles drained his life. In fact, in Japan, he was used as a teaching tool for children. They made a really cool character who was really strong, who was really charismatic. They built him up to be this big deal. Then they tell you that he's dead and that this candle is burning away. That is borrowed time. When the candle is done burning away, he will be dead. He then informs his brother that this is what's going on, and the Rangers try to find a way to save him. During this time, there was an event in Japan where you could vote whether or not to keep him alive, and kids were allowed to vote whether or not he was going to live or die. The vote won, and he was deemed he should live. They said, congratulations, the Green Ranger is going to live. Then they killed him. The idea and premise behind this was not to talk down to their children. Children are way more intelligent than we give them credit for. We always want to baby talk and ha 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 and goo goo gaga. But the truth of the matter is that kids can deal with a lot more than we like to admit they can. And this idea was, in a way, very commendable. They said, listen, sometimes, no matter how bad you want it, people die. And that's a shitty lesson to learn, but these are nearing teenagers. They're all like anywhere from 9 to 15 or somewhere in there. They're watching these shows on their Saturday mornings or whatever. And this show just cut the bullshit and said, listen, sometimes your heroes die. It fucking sucks, but life pushes forward. It keeps going. And this is a lesson that's hard learned. But here in America, they just cut all that learning shit out and they said, lesson nothing. Give him white powers.
Yeah, kind of like how in DC Comics, when they put up an 800 number, you call the 1-800 number, Robin lives. Call the other 800 number, Robin dies. People called in and they killed Robin. But they killed Jason Todd Robin.
But motherfuckers that hadn't been reading Batman comics in years were like, you guys killed Robin, we don't like that. So they had to write it back in. Whereas these guys at least stuck with it.
That gets even more controversial in the comic book line, though, because they figured out later on that they were accepting votes from a telemachine. There was a telemachine that some dickhead set up to call the line every so many minutes and cast a death vote. So that means that somewhere around 30% of the votes
were
not even real. And they killed Robin.
So, wait, do you think anybody would have did that with the Zoo Ranger Green Ranger?
No. From what I understand, he was voted to live, and the guys doing the show said, that's great, they want him to live, kill him.
Now, quick question. The room...
It was designed to teach kids something.
I meant the phone that kept calling the other line, or the saving line. Do you think that would have happened over there?
Even if it did, it was still a good way to teach kids something. It just, we dropped the ball on that one because we were like, Tommy can't die. We can't do that.
Let me ask you this. The room where the candle's at.
Yes, the white room.
Oh, the dungeon.
When he goes back to that room, the candle
stops
burning.
No, no, no. Which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about the Sentai.
In the Sentai, it's a white room.
And when he goes back to that room, the candle stops burning. He can live forever, but he'll be in a tiny white room.
Yeah, there's a tiny little white room.
And as long as he's in that room, the candle will not burn. But the second he leaves the room, the candle starts melting.
Take this room that we're in, make it all white, and everything that you can do, take out of it.
So yes, he can live forever, but that's not much. That's not really living.
He needs a pen, some paper, and a PSP. He'll be all right.
But in our version, it was the candle burns out, he loses his powers, and you'll notice that in season one, as the season progresses, Tommy will fight, and he'll, like, stop fighting, and you'll see, like, his suit, like, disappearing, and then coming back onto his body again.
Well, okay, actually, in our series, when they did this, the green candle thing, they removed him from our series.
Yep.
After the end of Green Candle Part 2, there was no Green Ranger at all. In order to keep Rita from receiving the powers, which, first off, I'm not 100% sure, they're just like, oh, we have this candle. Now, later on, there's going to be another candle episode where, in order to do the candle thing, they, like, Rita can just do this, because she makes a candle for every Ranger later on.
Oh, wait, no, that was Lord Zedd.
No, that was Rita.
I thought it was Zedd that created the other candles.
I don't know. Well, we'll be going through episodes, so we'll know when we get there. But there's another thing where there's just these candles for every Ranger. And that always bothered me because, like...
They use the green candle to light them.
Yeah, but that's exactly what bothers me, is if you could just make these candles, why isn't it the very first day when you come down to Earth and you see five Rangers, you're like, no, fuck on that, candles. Like, that's pretty big story flaw. It's weird that Rita even had that candle, and then she was like, oh, I have it because I needed a failsafe against the Green Ranger. Whatever, let me just back off, and I guess I buy that.
You mean kind of like how Zordon threw Rita in a dumpster onto a moonosphere instead of into the sun?
Exactly. If Zordon could be dumb enough to throw Rita right to the closest moonosphere, then I guess there's no reason that he wouldn't be dumb, and that he would probably still be dumb enough that when they got the Green Ranger power, he was like, Tommy, welcome to the team. I hope she doesn't light that candle. What candle, Zordon?
Nothing.
What?
Don't worry about it.
What'd you say?
I said, what candle?
What?
What?
What candle?
What are you talking about?
Don't open that door.
Don't open that door, Tommy.
What?
What?
I'm going to tear up the console now.
No, stop that.
Oh,
wait, hold on.
Every time we talk about
Alpha, clear my viewing globe history.
Alpha, I said to clear it, not to look in it.
No joke.
But every time we talk about that, I get to that. I see that scene in my head where Tommy's in the command center ripping up the console, and Zordon is just saying, no, Stop that.
You
don't
do
this.
Anything.
Hey, I think I would have laughed my ass off if Tommy would have, like, halfway through would have been like, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it?
I would have laughed if he would have been like, I'm going to destroy this place. And he grabs the first console and he starts pulling it up. And Zordon's like, no. And he stops like, huh? Stop that. What? Don't. And he lets the console go like, or what? What do you mean? Or what? You'll do what? Huh? Just stop.
You're a floating head.
Are you mean to tell me that you literally can't do anything about this? No. I'll go to another dimension. That's what I'm trying to do anyway. Oh. Then. Shit. He has no way to defend himself at all. Can you imagine if Angel Grove suffered some mass, like, power outage or like an EMP went off in the city? He's doomed.
So is Alpha.
Well, no. Technically,
like,
the
Zordon's
city,
like,
is doomed. They get warped like 300 miles outside the city into the middle of the fucking desert, remember?
Zordon is like, damn rolling power outs. Always knocking me offline.
Those damn heat spots.
So they do the green candle thing. They take away his powers. He actually does leave the show. And I remember I was worried about that. I thought he wasn't coming back.
He handed the shield off to Jason along with the dragon dagger.
Yes, that was in order to keep the powers from falling into Rita's hands. They hand off the power. Because supposedly, as long as one of the rangers that's still bound to the grid is holding the coin, the power
can't
be
lost. And the coin is given to Jason as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how they pass the shield
off.
No,
I can't remember, because I don't remember much of the second part of season one. But
well, hold on. Actually, hold on. We're getting... Right after that, we do Birds of a Feather, which actually is the first time we see the... I refer to him as the Red Dragon Ranger. He wears the shield, he has the sword and the dagger, and he shoots green and red energy, and he kills that bird guy. And that bird guy was screwing up the whole team, and he was like, no, I'm done with this. It's shield awesome time.
And Dick didn't take him that long to start doing it, too.
Yeah. Then you have Cleanup Club, A Bad Reflection on You, and then we have a pretty awesome little event called Doomsday.
Doomsday.
Part 1 and Part 2. These were episodes 39 and 40. If I'm not mistaken...
But when did Superman make it into the Power Rangers?
If I'm not mistaken, Doomsday is where Rita creates her own Zord. Remember this? The Colossus,
actually, yes,
or whatever
I
it is?
Do.
And he was messing up the Megazord. It took the Megazord and the Dragon Zord, all of their power, and I think they had Titanus in that, didn't they? Where they, don't they have to shoot the face in the sky? And the face in the sky is like, no! And looks all funny.
I know that the Megazord lost an arm in this battle.
But that's what I'm getting at. I think this is all the same thing. I think there was the face in the sky. Yeah. The Rita had her own colossal sword. Like, it had those crazy blades that came out of its hands.
The Baraka blades, more
yeah,
or less.
The Baraka blades.
God
and,
damn memory, and why
Goldar,
must you fail me?
Goldar was piloting the thing. And they barely won this. I remember they were getting beat
I have to admit, everything you're talking about, I am drawing a complete blank.
I think the Zord had two modes, too.
I remember bits and pieces,
yeah,
but
it
it's
did.
Not enough
yeah.
that I can actually, like,
this isn't even
brain
my
work.
Final form.
Yeah, this was an epic, awesome episode. I'm almost 100% sure this is the one we're talking about. And I almost can't even make jokes about this episode. This episode was great. It embodied what Power Rangers should have been, which is an epic battle against evil.
And in Angel Grove, they were doing a Power Rangers Day to celebrate the Power Rangers.
But shouldn't that mean then that their powers went away?
Was, yeah, Doomsday, no, Doomsday was that. Doomsday,
it was
at the start of the episode, they're having like a fair or a carnival or
yeah,
parade or some
Day,
shit
yeah.
to celebrate that Power Rangers have been saving them.
I guess it's been like a year or something since the Rangers debuted in Angel Grove or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but technically, wouldn't that count as personal gain? Like, the Power Rangers are getting favors?
Bill.
We already discussed that.
everything that you said is correct. I just wanted to make sure, so I looked it up. Season 1, episode 39 and 40, Rita unveils her own evil Zord when she brings her entire palace to Angel Grove.
Yeah. This was a big event. It felt like the end of Power Rangers. It was huge. In fact, it hurt the series a little bit because then we went on to Rita's Seed of Evil, A Pig Surprise, Something Fishy, Lions and Blizzards.
Oh my.
Crystal of the Nightmares, To Flee or Not to Flee, Reign of the Jellyfish, Plague of the Mantis. A bunch of who cares episodes, really. Maybe some of the monsters were intriguing and the storylines were okay, but these were some weak. Like, after seeing Doomsday, you were like, oh, they went back to fighting monsters each week. That's cool. It was okay. Then something awesome takes place. Episode 49 and 50 are monumental. Now, I just went over a lot of episodes. We have not seen the Green Ranger since episode... Well, 35.
Doomsday, at the end of Doomsday, Tommy appears.
But not the Green Ranger,
just Tommy.
The Green Ranger is gone. He's been gone. Yeah. And Tommy's appeared in like one, maybe two episodes as a side note. We thought he was gone. Out of the series, he's done. Rita devises this plan that, for her, is really brilliant because she was one of those incompetent heroes of her time, like the 80s and 90s, where we dealt with things like incompetent Skeletor and incompetent Cobra Commander and just dumb villains. That was our thing, was dumb villains.
But Rita's an incompetent hero?
She's an incompetent villain.
Yeah, you said hero.
Either way. It makes the heroes incompetent when the villain is incompetent, though, too, because, like, oh yeah, you kicked the small kid.
Well, technically, if you paid attention to the last one, we already said that the Power Rangers technically are the villains because they're picking on Bulk and Skull for no fucking reason.
I think they're
reason.
Bullies. Yeah. I don't think they're nearly as good, great guys as they're made out to be.
They do save the world. Which
They do charities and shit, but if you got to know them on a personal level, you might be okay, but if you're not their friends, like, it's weird to me that they're like, oh, hey, dude, I don't even know you. Good job. Fist bump. Congratulations, man. You did great today. And then Bulk and Skull walk in and they're like, go fuck yourself. And they're like, whoa, what? I literally came into here to eat chili. Like, that, I wasn't talking to anybody. I wasn't causing anything. I literally came in today. I was going to get a bowl of chili, and I was going to, you know, relax and eat. And they're like, why, you hungry? And they're like, well, yeah, I mean, I haven't ate today. And then here comes Kimberly with a giant bowl of chili. Kapow! Right in their face. Everybody laughs, and they're like, well, our life sucks. And they just fucking leave, because they're like, We like, literally have no fucking place here.
Yeah, because apparently they're dumb enough that they haven't quite figured out, oh, well, these jackasses don't like us. Why don't we find somewhere the fuck else to hang out? Like,
exactly.
The mall.
That shows something sad about Bulk and Skull, too. Like, they keep coming back because it's the closest thing they have to friends.
That disrespect and humiliate you.
Yeah. Like, 90% of the time, the bullying was a joke anyway. Like, something that they could have been like, okay, yeah, sure. And that would have been the end of it. But they don't do that. It works very differently. Now, this episode, however, Return of an Old Friend, is awesome. Rita, seeing that the Rangers are taking place, and that's another thing, too. Rita can also just look at you whenever she wants. Yeah, she could peep from her telescope, and she does often. She'll see what the Rangers are doing, and she'll be like, oh, I see. They like lizards, huh? And then she'll, like, mutate their lizard because she's a bitch.
Meanwhile, like, her telescope can look through a fucking building.
Right.
Oh,
so she's just as bad as Zordon, but
Jason
from the other
showery?
Side. Yeah, exactly.
So Jason likes showers, huh? I do, too.
I kind of wish I was there right now.
So now Rita and Zordon are both perverts.
They kind of could be. Like, they just be looking at everybody, and they don't. It never
specifies. There's a reason why they were fighting.
It never specifies at what time Rita or Zordon is looking at anybody, because Rita will often look down on the kids of Angel Grove to see what they're doing to come up with a way to make their day shitty.
And it's not like you can turn Rita in for peeping. She's on the motherfucking moon.
Yeah, she's up on the moon. She left the moonosphere, built a base on the moon. The sphere.
Meanwhile, Zordon's out in the middle of desert where nobody's really paying attention to the middle of the fucking desert.
I've noticed.
You notice how, like, you know, we have a military and they fly all over the place. And not one time they ever fly by, like, what the fuck is that?
What is that?
Alpha, send the turrets out. Mate, I need help.
I need to,
something is happening.
Something's shooting at us.
They let out Metal Gear Rex.
So crazy. But during this episode, here's just of what happens. She kidnaps their parents on Parents' Day.
Oh no.
And then she holds them for ransom. She tells the Rangers after they try to fight her off, she tells them, "I will kill your parents. Know this to be true, but there's one way that you can ensure their safety. Step out of my way. Give me the power coins, and I will let them go." Now, of course, she's evil, so she's not going to honor her word, but the Rangers, not seeing any other alternative, give away the 5 power coins. The 5 power coins. That's important.
All their power coins.
Their power coins. And Rita, for some reason, being the one that somehow created the Green Ranger and even had a damn candle, never once stopped to think that there was still a green coin.
She probably assumed that the Green Ranger and the coin, like, evaporated or something.
Right. So she doesn't ever put into perspective that there's another coin that she doesn't have.
Rita,
she now has 5
the
of them.
Basic math.
But Goldar's the one who's collecting these coins anyway, so.
Now, oh, yeah, that's true.
Goldar takes the coins, he puts them in this box.
No, you're not
going
to see your parents again.
He puts them in a box, the protective field. They put them up, and then the Rangers go back to the command center. I don't know if they teleported or walked. They go there somehow. And they're sitting there, and Zordon is like, "Well, we're in trouble now." And all the Rangers are like, "What are we going to do? Without powers, we can't fight them, and we literally have no powers." And Zack says, "Yeah, man, we gave up all of our coins." And Jason says, "Not all of them." And he goes into his pocket, and he reveals that he's still holding the green coin. There are episodes in this series that stand out that make you feel like you're watching a good show. And this is one of them. And you're like, holy shit. And at the end of the part one episode, you see Tommy walking into the school because it's Parents' Day, and he was getting to Angel Grove School late. He was probably waiting for his folks or something. And he's walking up into the school, and there's nobody there. And he's like, what's going on? The next episode, they give Tommy his powers back. And Zordon does something.
He kind of zaps.
This is actually an interesting fan theory that I've had for years. Zordon often talks about how he somehow trapped Rita. Weird. I don't know how the head in a jar did that, but I do have a theory.
Again, because his hand is in a different dimension.
No, I actually do have a real theory about this, like a real one. I believe, and there's a couple factors in this. One, your life force is tied to the morphing grid if you bond with the power. You lose the power, it can kill you. That's been specified. Now, the Pink Ranger cannot give energy to the Blue Ranger. They can transfer their coins. Like, she could take the coin out and entrust her power, but she can't just give you energy. You get what I'm saying? Zordon somehow uses his own life force to charge the green coin. If your life force is tied to the grid, that would mean that years ago, these other teens that Zordon speaks of, the old superhero team that came before the Rangers that somehow beat Rita, Zordon may have led those kids as the Green Ranger, and in a final attack, somehow trapped her in some force field, put her in the dumpster, whatever, and then somehow she got back at him by dissipating his life force, and now he's stuck in this weird, like, life support system in a sub-dimension where they only can contact him through machinery. If that's true, that explains why Zordon charges the green coin with his own life force, and Tommy can now again become the Green Ranger, and he goes and gets those coins by himself, returning the Rangers to six again. But now Tommy's powers are broken. They don't quite work right. They keep phasing in and out, and Zordon continually sends off his own life force to charge the coin in multiple events until Zordon can no longer do it, and he's like, I'm sorry, I've patched it up as much as I can. From this point on, every time you morph, you will be a little closer to never being able to do it again.
Yeah, Tommy even like said, I can only morph a few more times, and I remember it was almost like
he did more or less keep morphing into the next season, at least.
Well, that
well, the life
force, they take him out for the most part. Actually, during Rita's legacy, he pretty much is removed from the series. He doesn't show up too often, except for every now and then to help at the end. And it's like once every three or four or five episodes.
Maybe to help with the Zord battles.
The way that he ended up losing his powers actually is credited to Zed, and we're not there yet, but what Zed is going to do is pretty brilliant. Zed will purposely create monsters with one sole intention. They're just strong enough that they can't be handled without the Green Ranger. So he purposely bleeds the Green Ranger dry, which is probably in the next season we talk about.
Yeah.
But we're not there yet.
Because I remember it was Tommy kept getting pissed off. He'd sit up in the command center being like, let me go help him. So I'd be like, no, stop.
Yeah.
Don't go.
He'd be like, you cannot.
And Tommy just had to be there being like, well,
don't push,
shit.
Don't not push that watch button.
And then when he teleports, Zordon's like,
sadly, I think that's
why
one
does
of
no
the
one
few
listen
times,
to me?
I was about to say, sadly, that's one of the few times where you would listen to him because he'd be like, no, stop, don't. And he's like, well, no, technically he's right because if I go out there, I could actually fuck up and die. So,
yeah.
All right, I'll listen to you this time.
At this point, we go on to episode 51, which is Grumblebee, 52, which is Two Heads Are Better Than One, then Foul Play, Trick or Treat, Second Chance, On Fins and Needles, Enter the Lizinator. And yes, that is as bad as it sounds. Episode 57
Enter.
Was a terrible, cliche Terminator Arnold Schwarzenegger joke monster.
Come with me if you want to live. Quick, get to the sewers! Get to the sewers now!
It's a tumor!
Do it!
It's a tumor!
Probably from the sewers.
We then go on to an episode called Football Season.
Oh, Shane would love this episode.
Mighty Morphin Mutants and number 60 and Oyster Stew, which I remember almost none of those episodes, which lets you know how great they were.
Yeah, unfortunately the last episode of the season is just
terrible garbage.
Standard practice.
Well, I read what the main plot was, and you're not going to like it.
Why?
Okay.
Zach is trying to woo over a woman.
Oh, I remember this!
He had to get pearls, and he actually grabbed the Green Ranger's shield.
Yeah.
Yes,
I actually liked that episode specifically because of two reasons.
Yeah.
One, he's trying to impress a girl. And not because he's trying to impress her, because he can't. And that's nice because it gets a little old seeing the Rangers succeed at everything they do all the time. It was nice to see that no matter what he tried, he was trying to be an asshole. He was trying to like, oh, look, I bought you this expensive jewelry. I'm so great. And she was like, yeah, you're so stuck up.
Yep.
She's like, I don't really give a shit about you. And he went after this girl a couple times in the series, and the only time she was ever interested was because he was being nice. He would be nice to, like, kids and do charities and do teaching jobs and shit. And she'd be like, that's really cool. And then he'd go right back up on his high horse like, look, I can dance. And she'd be like, and I'm done with your ass now. Because she didn't care about him showing off. And she didn't care about his money. And she didn't care about his presence. She would have been interested in him, but he never tried to be him around her. He tried to be what he thought was the cliche thing she wanted, and she wasn't interested. I like that concept.
And the second one is seeing the Black Ranger get the shield.
Yes, he looks really cool, and it's kind of like the predecessor to my favorite Ranger.
Yep.
He was awesome looking. That black and gold is awesome looking.
It is.
And it also was a reoccurring episode for Tommy. Like, for some reason, Zach was fighting alone. I don't remember why. I'm not going to claim to remember. And then Tommy had to come in to help. And I remember this episode because, like, it could shoot this goop, and then the goop would eat through your uniform, and, like, it could kill you if it ate through your uniform. So you'd be like, oh, my God. Oh, this crap is eating away at my uniform. And then Tommy does something that's really brave and extraordinarily stupid. He could have said, dude, go back to the command center. I got this. That goop can't hurt me. But no, he doesn't do that. He gives his shield to the Black Ranger. Now the Black Ranger can no longer be hurt by goop. He then proceeds to jump face first into the monster and get shot with goop. And now since he doesn't have a shield, he falls over and has to flee the fight.
But
the Black Ranger has the shield, so he's fine now.
So now he can kick the ass.
Why didn't you come down and be like, look, man, I got this.
Why can't you
fight the goop?
Maybe because it was a Zach...
A Zach episode.
Since Zach was the pivotal point of that episode, let him be the hero.
I also think that in this episode, I will say this, I believe there was a very unique Megazord fight where they fought under, like, they fought in the lake. They were underwater in the Great Lake of Angel Grove or wherever the fuck that is.
As deep as an ocean.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. The Great Lake.
Wasn't it like a clam monster or something?
Yeah, and they fought it underwater, which I thought was kind of cool, because there's probably two Zord fights that happen at night and one Zord fight underwater, and then the rest are always in broad daylight, and they swing the sword, and it's over.
Yeah.
And it gets a little old.
Or they punch with the wrong fist.
Or
try to grab a sword
with
the
wrong
hand.
Never understood
Or they
that.
Drive around in the tank and kill the monster in the tank and don't actually turn into Megazord form once or twice.
Yeah, this episode was interesting in terms of what it offered for its combat, I guess. And I like the fact that Zach failed. It sounds mean, but I like that.
It did get old that the Rangers were put on this freaking pedestal.
They were like, we win every competition. Every race. We raise all this money for charity. We're the greatest fucking people in Angel Grove.
I'm about to say, like, you guys are like the greatest beings ever on this fucking planet because you can just do anything.
Right.
Except impress that girl.
Yeah, it was nice to see that there was something that he was having trouble with, that he was like, I can't get her to like me.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the reason why a lot of us started falling in love with shows like Dragon Ball Z and stuff where, you know, there always was troubles and, you know, they didn't always win. Until later on when all of a sudden, we could just Super Saiyan. Oh, we can just do whatever. Oh, we can always find a way, which has now led into, like, Yu Yu Hakusho and Bleach and different animes where all of a sudden, I've run into a guy I can't defeat. Hold on, give me 2 seconds.
I must do something unseen. I must do something drastic. Something amazing.
I'm almost done. I gotta slap myself. All right, now I'm invincible. Let's keep going. I just had to slap myself 13 times. Now nobody can fuck with me. Until I find the next guy that can fuck with me. And then I'll just punch myself in the dick twice and now I'm invincible.
That would weaken and strengthen you. Give me a second. Give me a second.
He keeps punching me in the dick.
Why does he keep punching me in the dick?
Overall, Season 1 is okay.
It had some good story arcs, and it had a lot of shitty ones.
It begins.
It set the standard, but here's the truth of it. Let's really try here. Let's be honest with ourselves. Let's step off of the nostalgia curve, because everybody fucking does it. Everybody's like, it started it. It deserves a 5. Or, it started it. We should be nice and guarantee it a 4, or something like that. If we're going to give this thing something, let's be honest here. The first, there's Day of the Dumpster. Then nothing worth happening really happens until probably the Dark Warrior. Then there's Green with Evil. Island of Illusion.
And now we switch discs.
Green Candle, Doomsday, Return of an Old Friend, and I guess I'll put the Oyster Stew in there. So we're at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 on the second volume. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 episodes. So by a standard of series today, if you were to, say, skip all those in-between garbage episodes that mean nothing, you might have a decent little kids' Netflix series. Say this only ran 16 or 20 episodes. It might have been an even better show.
Yes, because it would have hit all the major plot points.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have thrown in some of that filler stuff.
You could have thrown a few episodes here and there.
Yeah, I was about to say, there's a handful of the filler that you need, like the second or third episode when they finally get the risk communicators
and
they're able to warp and shit.
But they would have just done all that in things like Green with Evil or whatever. They would have made a story arc for it. I think that TV has come a long way. Like a long, long way. Because you look at series like Netflix, here's the problem with televised, like commercialized television. They're on a schedule, and they're told, hey, we need 26 episodes. So they're like, okay, 13 episodes matter. The rest, we just have to put something here. And those episodes, they don't feel quite right. Like, you watch them, and you're like, that was a good episode. I kind of like that. But you could tell that it doesn't mean anything.
Hooray for filler.
Yeah.
Like Bulma fighting a crab underwater.
But then you watch something like the new Daredevil, and there's only like 13 episodes, and every single episode matters. That's where TV should be going. It shouldn't be about filling space. You should tell a story. And if your series is good and the story goes, we'll deal with your commercials. You don't have to have a season that's 36 episodes. It's not necessary. Make a good show that produces an episode once every month or something like that, and I would actually be fine with it. It wouldn't bother me at all if I was tuning in and I only saw a new episode every 2 or 3 weeks. I'd be fine with it as long as they were good, solid episodes. And you see that in things like the HBO series and things like that, and the Showtime series like Spartacus. Every episode meant something. It built towards a climax that was worth watching. Back then, the first disc, the first volume, season one is 60 friggin' episodes. I named 16 that are guarantees. That's a lot of watching. Rita gets mad. Rita makes monster.
Rita throws down
Rangers,
a staff.
Rangers use stupid ability that makes monsters die. Rita grows monster. Rangers call Zords. Zordon says, no, stop, don't do that. And then fucking sword cut, and the episode's over, and we move on to something else.
No, episode isn't over. Then they're all like, yeah, we killed the monster. Let's go back to the juice bar, Bulk and Skull, and fuck you.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
we have
so
to fuck
Mighty
over
Morphin
Bulk and Skull every single episode.
Or we can just have like 20 episodes per season.
I would support Kai 1,000%. If there was a Mighty Morphin Power Kai where they just took all of the filler out and they combined certain aspects. If they combined certain aspects,
let's say the
episode where they make the communicators, just take the scene where they made the communicators and add that into something else.
That's fine. Yeah.
And I'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
I would like to rewatch it without all the filler, because there are episodes, like you said, that you sit through and you're like, God, enough.
Enough. Yeah.
Please move on to the next episode.
Now, I will say the creativity is neat to see how many monsters they can come up with, because, like, one episode that sucks is Eye Guy, but that's a pretty sweet monster.
Yeah.
He's, like, all eyes.
What about the goat monster?
Yeah, there's the goat dude.
That dude's pretty sweet.
The pig.
He's dumb.
He is dumb. The episode was...
The only thing I liked about the pig was they were able to kill him and they didn't need the fucking Megazord. They just pulled out the hand cannon and blasted his ass.
Every time they got a new weapon or something new, they were able to kill the monster without having to get into their Megazord.
There were a bunch of different attacks, too. They had Jason had the hurt-your-hands attack. They have an attack where they combine all of their crystals, their power coins, and then somehow that gives all of their power to one ranger. They gave it to the blue. He used it one time. They never repeated it ever.
At least Billy got a moment to shine.
Billy was able to beat Madam Web by himself because he had the power of all five rangers in one guy.
Oh, God, I remember that. Yeah.
And then they have that weird thing where they stand on each other's shoulders, form a triangle, shoot their Zoo Range blasters.
And they create the
pentagram looking octagon thing.
I will say that each ranger, somewhat filler episodes, they at least gave each ranger their moment to shine.
I'd say that, believe it or not, in Green with Evil, this may sound ridiculous, that's Billy's series. Billy is the only reason they won. He was able to fix Alpha. It set his character standard as being super intelligent. He was able to reverse engineer the command center, put everything back on track, reorchestrate the technology. He's the only reason they ever got Zordon back. And all of this actually leads in to a future role in Zeo where he becomes the tech master of the Rangers.
Actually, that kind of brings up something I heard somewhere else about the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers series being a lot of tech versus magic.
Yes, yeah, it is. It's very much a tech versus magic kind of idea.
Or sorcery magic.
And then it's kind of interesting because Zeo goes the opposite way, and they're using a mystic relic, the Zeo Crystal, to gain power, and it becomes more of a magic versus machine, because that's the machines become the bad guys.
Empire.
So they reverse the roles during Zeo.
Which I think are some of the dumbest fucking... I'm sorry, I did not
like...
I don't like
those bad guys.
I did not like the Machine Empire at all.
The next one of these discussions will be my favorite bad guy. I'm sorry, I don't care how cliche it is. Lord Zedd for life. He is the greatest thing our series ever did.
Oh, yeah. I would agree.
I don't know. That one dude, like the evil dude from the Legendary War.
I don't know, man.
I would almost like try to pit them.
He was one of those
He was competent.
He was competent.
Yeah. He was smart.
Yeah. Sadly, because
Nick
the movies...
Nick says Ivanhoe, but it's completely non-canon
because
now.
The movies are non-canon.
And since now he's fighting the X-Men, it doesn't really matter. He's not even our villain anymore.
Yeah.
But I will agree that if it would have been canon...
Unless
then,
they
yeah,
decide to
Ivan
try
Ooze
to bring him
would
back
have been,
this new bullshit movie.
Ivanhoe had a good
Both
idea.
20th Century Fox.
I liked his attitude.
Yeah.
Ivanhoe's attitude was cool because he was kind of like evil witty.
He just woke up from thousands of years. I think he was a good character. I mean, for a villain.
And I love his opening phrase to the teens. Ivanhoe's had an awesome opening phrase, which when I was a kid, I thought it was the coolest thing a villain could say. He said, so Zordon still uses a bunch of kids to do his dirty work. Meet my kids. And he creates those goop guys. And then he says, understand, from this day forward, the world as you know it shall cease to exist. Welcome to my nightmare. And he blasted off, and I was like, he's so cool. And then Tommy waits all of 3 minutes to steal that guy's line. He was like, that was really cool. He picks up a bow staff, welcome to my nightmare. I'm like, no, you didn't come up with that. That's not yours, Tommy. You can't have everything cool. The bad guy gets that one. That's not your shit, Tommy.
Ivan Ooze was a really cool villain. But sadly, he was only in that one movie, and it sucks because if he would have been brought as a villain, he kind of made Zedd and Rita
look like
bitches.
Yeah.
With when he showed up, and Zedd and them saw him, even Zedd kind of backed off a little bit because this is motherfucking Ivan Ooze. I'm here now. So
saw how easily he was dispatched. It's kind of like, you know, Frieza being told, yeah, you don't fuck with Majin Buu. Meanwhile, about that.
Yeah. It's, he was just, there were villains. Like, Rita was... No, I actually, in my opinion, if we would have just kept her Japanese name... That was more menacing than anything.
I think Bandora sounds cooler than
Bandora.
Rita Repulsa.
I'm sorry, that's kind of like, oh shit.
Bandora's palace.
That would have been more menacing than Rita Repulsa.
And maybe if we could have got a couple more, how do I put this? We could have afforded to maybe spend a little more money or a little more time in the editing room to get some more Goldar scenes. Because every time Goldar talks, he's holding his sword. He punches twice straight. Then he turns the sword sideways and punches twice.
Here's my thing.
Then he punches twice. And they just reuse that clip every time that Goldar talks.
Goldar,
up at the palace.
Goldar, I wish they would have used him properly.
That he would have been
because
a warrior.
He was awesome. Yeah. But sadly, just like everybody else...
In the Sentai, Goldar fought the Rangers, and he was a legitimate threat. He was stronger than the monsters they were sending down.
How long was he in the original Sentai?
The original Sentai does something we didn't do. It's only 50 episodes. I think, is it 50?
I think 40-something.
No, I don't think it's even that much. Actually... I will see right now. I have it on my computer right now. So give me 1 second, and I will tell you exactly how long that is.
42, I'm guessing.
50. There's only 50 episodes, and on the 50th episode, they do something that for some reason we avoided like crazy. They fought, beat, and trapped Bandora.
They put her back
Our Rangers never fought Rita. Our Rangers... never fought Zed. You know how pissed I was that our Rangers... No, the White Ranger does not count. He had one fight with Zed, and Zed made him look like a little girl.
Yeah,
still kind of a fight.
Yeah. And it makes me mad that the Rangers never confronted Zed. He could have whipped that staff around and fought the Rangers. He could have been like, screw this. I'm done with it. I'm going down there. And he could have went down there and fought the Rangers, and they could have found some epic Doomsday-type episode to actually beat Zed. They didn't do that.
Wasn't the closest thing they did was when Zed got Serpentera of fighting him?
No, his battery ran out. They don't fight him. His battery runs out. An idiot, he has a fully powered Zord that can destroy the planet... But instead, the Rangers go off to another planet to get this power sword so they can transfer their powers. And while they're doing that, there's no Rangers. No Rangers on Earth. Not one Ranger is on Earth. He takes Serpentera from the moon, and instead of going to Earth and wiping the planet from the face of the galaxy like he had a Death Star, he flies all the way to the universe that they're in so he can destroy the planet they're on. There was nobody defending Earth. He could have been like, fly a fourth of the distance, laser beam of death. Now they don't even have a home to come back to. That sword is pointless anyway.
Yeah, because if they come back, they're just kind of boned.
Wouldn't their powers like disappear?
Yeah, and they would have lost their powers anyway. Yeah, Scott just got it.
The morphing grid would have been destroyed because the planet's gone.
Right.
Thus, trapping you on a... deserted planet.
Yeah, an old deserted piece of garbage planet.
Where you cannot.
Then I would have charged Serpentera and made a leisurely stroll over to that planet and been like, pew, and destroyed that one.
But since he took it all the way to that planet, it drained most of the battery, and then when he was doing epic crap, kind of killed the battery and never used Serpentera again.
So yeah, they messed up. That's wasted possibility. The White Ranger fought Zed one time. That's it. That's the only face-to-face real confrontation. That's a waste. They should have fought him. They should have found a way to beat him legitimately. They fought the stupid robot king dude. Mondo.
That's true.
Why do they fight King Mondo and they never once actually cross swords with Zed?
I thought there was another situation where Tommy, and I think it was Cat at the time, confronted Zed while they were trying to get back the Falcon Zord in a cage.
But they don't fight him.
No, but it was a confrontation, though.
He puts Cat in a fucking tube and starts corrupting her with evil. Tommy runs in, breaks the tube, they teleport out. And then they're both like, no way! Because Rita's incompetence was rubbing off on Zed by that point.
Yeah. That's true.
we are reached our hour mark, so this is it for this episode.
No, stop. Don't do that.
Don't hit that button.
We will have to come back and talk more. Some of these conversations are going to take a serious curve because we grew up with this. We really love the show. It still holds a nostalgia and things like that for us. But we do plan on adding as much humor as we can to the episodes too. But understand, this episode was probably a lot more serious than the first. But I don't necessarily see that as negative. You have anything to close on this season? Or should we rate the season?
Let's go ahead and rate it.
Want to rate season one? Yeah. I mean, we rate everything else.
We rate everything else, so I don't see why not.
I was going to say, we didn't rate the first volume, so yeah, why not just rate it by
season?
Well,
because it's season. Season. Yeah. That's all right,
rate it by season.
You can start us. What's up?
This season? Well, actually, nostalgia is going to kick in, too.
Understood. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Are we going to do the standard out of five?
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
4.
Yeah, you got 4?
4.
Really liking this? We got Nick over here. He wasn't really present in the show except for some impression, but he did just drop a 3.
The reason why I really wasn't in the show is because I have back issues and sitting is very uncomfortable right now.
So he's laying on the studio floor.
It's not helping much.
I give it a 3. Come over and walk on your back.
You would kill me.
Context of joke. Seth is a large individual.
I weigh 335 pounds. I weighed myself the other day while I was at work, not working.
He says, you want me to walk on your back?
I weigh like a 190. No. Anyways, I give this a 3 because it does set the standard for pretty much the Power Rangers going on. Sadly, though, they kind of drops off here and there.
All right, so we're at a 4 and a 3.
I guess it's my turn then.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna give this a 3.
Okay.
Like, I'm not gonna let nostalgia kick in the fact that, like you said, there's only so many episodes that are actually worth a damn. Plus, at the same time, it really did start feeling like it was dragging, especially near the end. Like, there's a lot of them where it's just like, all right, this is... And then you get toward the end of the episode, and you're like, uneventful. Why did I even watch this today? I could have been doing something else.
Breaking down what you were saying about 60 episodes and really, like, 16 of them being, like, really epic, while the rest are not so epic.
It sucks to look at your childhood shows, doesn't it?
I would have to... And unlike Seth, nostalgia is going to kick in here a little bit. The reason why I'm giving it a 3, one of the points is nostalgia. I grew up with this show.
Oh, I was about to say, I didn't let nostalgia affect me at all.
No, 3 is the reason why I'm giving it, because I grew up with the show, and there were story arcs that were really good.
Oh, yeah.
And there were story arcs that were terrible. And then the monotony kicked in. Where it's monster a week. And at one point in time, they run out of fucking monsters.
Yeah, they started reusing the same monsters that they'd already fought.
They were. Yep. It was getting old. I will say that.
Fight that pig? Did they fight that pig like 4 times?
I swear to God, that pig showed up multiple
times.
Maybe
it's stock footage, maybe.
Because they fight the pig once, then they fight it again during Rita's days.
I think the Island of Illusion had some flashbacks, too.
I think there was the Illusion where they fought the pigs. So that's 3 pigs. Then the pig come back during the Zordon era at least twice, so that's 5 times that they fought that stupid pig.
There were enemies that were reoccurring, but because of the story arcs that were really good, it's why I'm giving it a 3. Yeah.
So you're not going to be cliche as fuck and give it a 5 like you did for 6 of the other Sentai episodes when you were claiming that you've only given out like 2 or 3 fives?
Listen, first off, the show was...
It wasn't like I was giving them out like candy. Meanwhile, I've listened to 5 episodes where you gave out like 5s.
I'm not giving this a 5.
Oh, okay. All right.
I didn't give it a 5, but I give it a 4 because of the nostalgia.
It's not an excellent show. It's average.
Damn it. All right, I'm going to go ahead and give this thing like a... I can't give it a great. I really cannot. But I will say that there's greatness about it. One, this was the early 90s. There was not a show like it on TV. Literally, not anything like it. There were real martial arts. They had like confrontation with these like monsters. For us here in America, there was very little introduction into things like kaiju, the giant Japanese monster that destroys cities. And we got to see that every week. The Green Ranger, my favorite ranger of this season, I'm sorry if that's cliche, but that's what he is. He piloted the Godzilla Zord. I don't care what you want to call it. Dragon Caesar, Dragon Zord. It was Godzilla. It rose out of the Angel Grove Lake. It roared. It tore apart the city as it made its way to the battlefield. It had... Yeah, it was called by the flute. That was epic. Like you were summoning some sort of monster. It would spin its tail. It had missiles on its hands. I loved the Megazord. The Megazord felt like something straight out of Voltron to me, and looked like it too. So I think they chose the right series to start with us. Later on, you'll go into other things which I can't really rate on here, but. I loved that all the Rangers had a specialized weapon, and that the theme worked, that each Ranger kind of had their own thing. Like, Zack was strong. He was probably, like, yeah, Jason was often referenced as the strongest, but you could tell that, at least because of the Sentai footage, in costume, Zack was probably the most physically attributed character, because he was the mammoth. He had the axe. He was more brute force. Jason was more skill-based. He had the sword. I like that Trini was kind of quick and precise. She had the tiger. And she had those little daggers. I like that Billy kind of was the more intelligent fighter. He kept you at a distance. And I like that Kim was more the angelic, like, she'd keep you at a distance. Then if you got close, she would do, like, crane-style kung fu. So she was very, I'm trying to think of how to explain it. Just the way that they characterized everything. And then, here comes the Green Ranger. He was the fiercest. He was the one that was... He would get in your face. He was very, very aggressive, but very skillful. And if he was coming after you, you were in trouble. He seemed to be the most vicious of the fighters. And I like all of these themes that go into its design that still catch my attention even today. But I can't say great, because there's only so many of these episodes that are truly watchable. If I broke this down to a 16-episode series and rewatched it and then came back and did a review and said, let's say that I only watched these episodes and that's what the whole series was, this is my score, it would be a very different score, but I'm 3.8.
What's that give us, guy?
No, hold on, I'm doing up the basic math and shit. 3.36.
I'm not against that necessarily.
Actually, yes, it is.
That makes it a basic series. Yeah. We're at a basic series here, especially for its time. And that is something to think about, because like I said, TV has come a long way.
And it's a good place to start, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it set the standards. And I think that when we start talking season two, we're going to be able to talk a little more interesting stuff, because Zed, and they start dealing with more storyline components. I remember season 2 picks up. So I think that was it for Sentai Review. Let us know what you think in the comments below. Hey guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomKnight.com. At FandomKnight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomKnight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.